The following audio is from Foundation Life Bible Church. More information about Foundation Life is available at www.foundationlbc.com.
This mini lesson is one of a series, walking through what the Bible teaches about eldership and its importance in the church. As you consider these sessions, please pray with us and ask the Lord to guide our church in finding and calling elders. Thank you.
All right. Well, good morning, everybody. All right, well today I get the privilege of continuing the Elder mini-series, the mini-lessons that we've been doing. And today we're going to talk about what elders are like. So I may go a little long. I've already apologized to Sam for going a little long, but this is very important to me. This is it's a lot to cover. So we're going to do this a couple different times on what elders are like. And the reason we're going to be doing this, for the past 6 weeks now, you've heard three of us get up here, now four of us, talk about eldership and what the qualifications are for an elder. And as your leadership team right now, we feel like the Lord's calling us to do this, to slow it down and take our time in deciding this noble task of, you know, appointing elders within Foundation Life Bible Church. So that's the reason we have done this. So it's like in this way, we have decided to break it down into smaller sections to kind of educate the congregation, you guys, on what to look for and an elder. And one of the kind of analogies I was trying to think of throughout this last week or so is just kind of like, you know, like to say we all love our kids, right? Kids are precious to us. And we're going to interview people or look for a nanny to take care of our kids. Now, all of us, we have a list of qualifications that we expect to see out of a person who's going to watch our kids, right? So it's kind of just looking at it that way. This is kind of what this is like in a way. So you got to look at your elders. Like, who do you want? It's going to be, you know, your guys' decision to pick. Who do you think is going to lead you guys well and lead God's church well? Okay? So just kind of think of it that way. So then it's like, you know, when it comes to that time, then it's going to be you guys that gets to pick. It's not up to us. It's not up to me, Rick, Sam, Chris, Conrad. And, you know, we're acting as elders or leaders right now in lieu of elders, but you may not want any of us to be your elders. So it's up to you guys to pick, okay? And we're just kind of up here trying to educate you a little bit on this. Now, I want to quickly kind of review the last three that we've already heard, because I think all three of these guys, all the points that they've made so far, is all pointing to what elders are like. So I'm going to kind of go through this as quickly as I can. And so just bear with me. I'll be quoting a few scriptures. Don't try to look them up, because you won't be able to keep up with me probably on that. But I'll try to do the best as I can. So for now, 6 weeks ago, you heard Rick. And Rick talked about the Apostle Paul and his disciple Titus, and in the island of Crete. Now, we all know the island of Crete was just pretty much America today. It was just a bunch of this greedy glutton. They were known for liars. You still hear the term today called "you're a Cretan." That means you're a liar. So there wasn't the greatest place to be. So Titus had a big responsibility on his hands. So then he spoke to the elders, or spoke of how elders need to be subordinate to God, and be a teacher of the gospel and a teacher of Jesus's teachings. Rick also explained that elders are not only to be teachers of the gospel, but we need to be examples as well. So in 1 Peter 5:3, Peter tells us, "But lead them," referring to the flock that God has entrusted them with, "by your own example." Then also Rick quoted the verse from 1 Corinthians 11 that Paul said. He goes, "Be imitators of me because I am imitators of Christ," which I believe is one of the most ultimate verses that, you know, as an elder, that's what we need to be saying. We shouldn't be up here, an elder shouldn't be up here being your pastor, your elder, your overseer, if he really can't say that. If he can't say that, "Be imitators of me because I'm imitator of Christ," then he has no reason to be there. Then to me, it's also, that's not only important for an elder, but it's important for all of us, because we're talking about discipleship within our church. And that's something we need to have, that quality of us to be a disciple, to help lead others along to Christ as well. We also have heard this verse before, and Peter reminds us again in 1 Peter 1:16, where God said this, for the scriptures say, "You must be holy because I am holy." Now this verse that they're talking about is from Leviticus, and God actually says this four different times to kind of give emphasis on this. So again, it kind of tells us again where, you know, Paul, if you guys know about Paul, you know, Jesus revealed the gospel to him. Nobody taught Paul the scriptures. So the scriptures and the gospel was revealed to Paul. This kind of proves again to me, just reading through this, because we're studying through Galatians as well. I am personally in Grady, and but we kind of going through this just proves that, you know, the scriptures were revealed to Paul. That Paul, nobody taught Paul this. And for the Paul to say, be imitators of me because I am imitators of Christ, you know, it came truly from God, for he says, you must be holy because I am holy. So that was the kind of part, you know, revealed from Rick to us. So the quality of an elder to me should be Christ-like. So then the next leads him to hearing from Chris. And then from 3 or 4 weeks ago, we heard from Chris. And he spoke to us about how the word elder, and the meaning of the word elder, like I said just a minute ago, means pastor, overseer, and bishop. So basically it's one in the same. It's four different offices, but all one person. So all, if it's an elder, he's also a pastor, he's also an overseer of the flock. So then Chris challenges to, well, how can we look for the qualifications of an elder? What to look for in the specific man that is being, you know, sought after for eldership? And he said, we can do this by looking at his family. And how does he lead his family well? In 1 Timothy 3, 4, and 5, the Lord said, it says, he must manage his own family well, having children who respect and obey him. For if a man cannot lead or manage his house well, how can he take care of God's church? And again, these passages in Titus and Timothy on these qualifications of elders is not seeking absolute perfection, because only Christ has conquered that. But he's looking for us, you know, conquered that, but looking for us the character of the man more than all these qualifications. Now, the biblical knowledge is important. Qualifications are very important, but these qualifications are more describing the character of the man who's taking the eldership than anything else. And now, 2 weeks ago, we heard from Conrad, and Conrad talked about what elders are not like. And he is focused on Titus 1, chapter 1, verse 7, where it says, a church leader is a manager of God's household. He must be blameless and not be arrogant and quick-tempered. And he said he must not be a heavy drinker, violent, or dishonest with money. Now, being arrogant and quick-tempered is not only just being, you know, obviously just boastful and arrogant and getting mad easily, but it's also like you as an elder. You don't want an elder just coming in here being very prideful, very boastful about who he is in Christ and lording that over you, because that's not what you guys want to see. That's not, you want somebody that's going to be more the characteristic of Christ, which is love, versus lording it over you. So that's kind of what that verse really means real quick. Then also being dishonest with money, that's very important as well, because we tell you as leaders right now, and Rick has constantly told us that we want to be very good stewards with the money the Lord has blessed us with. We don't want to be dishonest with that whatsoever. So it's very important to God that we be, you know, good stewards with the money that's given to us. And an example, as I have you guys just to, you know, challenge you to read, go read Acts chapter 4 and 5. Kind of gives you a good example of just what it is to the severity of being honest with God's money, the one he's given to you. Then also kind of reminds us this, and Paul putting out, he's putting the character before the skills. So like having, you know, an elder having some biblical knowledge is really important, yes. But the character of the man, who he is in Christ, to me is just as important. Since having that knowledge to me isn't everything, but it is important. And it's in the character of Christ, like I just said a minute ago, the character of Christ to me is love. Now I'm going to quote a scripture that I know our brother, our sister, Mel has memorized, and she probably can recite this word for word, but in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 7, not only this does, to me, describes the characteristics of love, but this really describes the characteristic of the heart that the elder needs to have for the flock the Lord has entrusted him with. He needs to love the people. He needs to be a lover of people. And so I'm going to read this through, and just listen to these words and think about it, the characteristics of an elder as I read these words. So 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 7, this says, love is patient, love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. So, you know, that's a very good quality you want to look for in an elder. And again, remember, like, you know, I said about knowledge and just knowing the scriptures, that's very important. But remember, Satan knows the scriptures just as well as any of us. But his character was an abomination to Christ. Okay? So I just, again, I just want to put that importance out there. Now we're going to get to what I'm, kind of talk about is what elders are like. And I'm going to read through Titus chapter 1, if everybody wants to turn there real quick. We're just going to read through the scriptures one more time, but we're going to concentrate on verse 8 today a little bit more, and we'll break down verse 8. So Titus chapter 1, we're going to start with verse 1, just read through verse 9. It says, "This letter is from Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle to Christ." Now, real quick, too, bondservant of God. That's, to me, another important, qualification an elder needs to have in his heart. He needs to be a bondservant to God. So that's one more, I guess, right off the bat, and a qualification that you kind of need to be looking for. It says, "I have been sent to proclaim the faith to those God has chosen and to teach them to know the truth that shows them how to live godly lives. This truth gives them confidence that they have eternal life, which God," I love this part, "who does not lie." So funny, like, since the Cretans are liars, like, you had to put that in there. I love that part. I'm like, you had to say, "who does not lie, God who does not lie, promised them before the world began. And now at just the right time, he has revealed this message, which we will announce to everyone. It is by the command of God, our Savior, that I have been entrusted with this work for him. So I am writing to Titus, my true son in the faith that we share." It says, "May God the Father, Jesus, and Jesus, or Christ Jesus, our Savior, give you grace and peace." Now, starting in verse 5, it says, "I left you on the island of Crete so that you complete the work there and appoint elders in each of these towns as I instructed you. An elder must live a blameless life. He must be faithful to his wife, and his children must be believers who do not have a reputation of being wild or rebellious. A church leader is a manager of God's household, so he must live a blameless life. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered. He must not be a heavy drinker, violent, or dishonest with money." Now, verse 8 is where we're going to camp for just a little bit. It says, "Rather, he must enjoy having guests in his home and must love what is good. He must live wisely and be just. He must live a devout and disciplined life." In verse 9, it says, "He must have a strong belief in the trustworthy message that he was taught." And again, as Rick taught us in verse 1, that an elder needs to be subordinate to God. He needs to be subordinate to the scriptures. Then, and be able to teach, be teachers of his word, teachers of the gospel message. And an elder can only accomplish this by having a strong belief in Christ Jesus and in the scriptures. And so then he will be able to encourage others with wholesome teachings and to show those who oppose it that they were wrong. Now, in breaking down verse 8, a little bit, we'll look at the first part of that, where Paul says that an elder must enjoy having guests in his home. He says, now you may be asking, why is that important? Just having guests in your home. Well, as an elder, you must have a love for all people, to me. You must have a love for believers and non-believers alike. Okay, because our goal is to spread the word to non-believers. That's the point of having a church, to invite them in, to share the gospel and the hope of eternal life with them. This is in a It said, by inviting guests into your home, you set a more intimate and casual setting that you can get to know them, the people more. They get to know the elders more. But it also sets that setting to where you can share the gospel with them in a more comfortable environment. They're not actually intimidated by people like screaming at bullhorns on this one on the street corner. Those kind of, to me, run people away. But many, many times, how many times have we seen through the gospels that Christ invites people into his home, or he gets invited to people's home. He sits down at the tables with them. He eats dinner with them. That gives him the opportunity to share the message of hope with them. So it's like many, many times the Lord has shown this, that sitting down is very important. Oh, let's see. I lost my place. So we just saw it in the, then, 2 weeks ago, we just saw a good example of this in Mark. Mark chapter 2, verse 15, where we talked about Levi or Matthew, where Christ said, "Hey, follow me." Levi didn't hesitate. He got up, he went. But then what he did, he immediately invited Jesus and his disciples to his house to have dinner, as a dinner guests, to celebrate what just happened. So right then and there, but then also what's it say in the following verses is Jesus sat there and ate with many other tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. So you see this characteristic that shows the trait that, to me, not just elders should be showing, but all of us should be showing. This is a good, honest trait that we need to, invite people into our house and have dinner with them so we can not only share life with them, but it also gives you the chance to be the example in your household, and so they can see Christ in you, see Christ in your home, but then you get to share the message with them as well. And so this also gives us a chance to encourage and motivate one another as well. And again, as an elder, to lead by example, I look at Rome. I found it in Romans 12, verse 13, where Paul tells us, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. And again, this allows the elder to show the love of Christ, which has no bounds, which we just read in 1 Corinthians 13. Then also in Hebrews, Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25, the Lord says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. So let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially on that day of his return that is drawing near. Now, obviously, in a couple of weeks, we're going to celebrate, to me, the ultimate holiday is Easter, the resurrection of Christ. And we're then here in a couple of weeks, I encourage you all to go to the Richard's house. You know, we talk about the importance of dinner, sitting at the table. You're going to see that there. You're going to unfold that story and get a stronger understanding of what it means to sit at a table and have dinner and share the hope of Christ. So I encourage you all to do that. Now, for the sake of time, I'm going to combine the last part of verse 8 and kind of lump it together. So the last part of verse 8 says, he must live wisely and be just. He must live a devout and disciplined life. Now, first of all, an elder must lean on God's word. You know, Proverbs 3:5 says, you know, trust the Lord with all your heart and not lean on your own understanding. So we must lean on Christ for all others we do. Every day we walk. We must walk what we say here. We must walk daily in the gospel. And that's why we put that phrase out there, because it's true to our hearts. That's where we need to be. If we're not walking daily in the gospel of Christ, then it's going to be hard to be that example. It's going to be hard to stand up here and say, be imitators of me because I'm imitators of Christ. If we're not, you know, devout and disciplined in our life in the scriptures. But I'm going to refer to some scriptures from God's word. It kind of describes this. And James, the brother of Jesus, described this very well. So and one of the things we got to do is lean on, you know, God's wisdom. And James obviously does it. And James 1 verse 5 says, if you need wisdom, ask a generous God and he'll give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure your faith is in God alone. So again, it goes back to the importance of being centered in the gospel, being centered, being Christ-like. Then later on, he reminds us again, James does, in chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 13 and 17 and 18. But it says, if you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. In verse 17, it says, but the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace, loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. 1 Corinthians. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. Now Jesus tells us and shows his example of eating with Levi and tax collectors, sinners, that we must, again, live wisely among those who are believers, those who are not believers. And make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. And that's Colossians verses 4 and 5. Now, as I bring this session to a close, as we have learned, the integrity and the character of man will show us how he, who is pursuing this noble task of being an elder, is living a devout and disciplined life in Christ Jesus. An elder, as the Apostle Paul called himself, in the first and foremost, is to be a bondservant of God. He needs to be fully committed to the gospel and the teachings of the message of the gospel of Christ. Paul reminds us again in Philippians 2, verse 6 and 7, says that though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges, and he took the humble position of a slave instead. And again, another qualification to me of an elder, not only are we here to oversee you, to help lead you, but we're here to serve you as well. Because we all know Christ is ministry. He came here to serve, not to lord it over. Okay? So that's the kind of meaning to me of that verse. Then so my closing statement will be from Apostle Peter. And he gives us a reminder, and he gives you like a statement of advice for elders in 1 Peter 5, verse 1 through 3. And he goes, and now a word to you who are elders in the church. I too am an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. I too will share in his glory when he is revealed to the whole world. As a fellow elder, I appeal to you. It says, care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly and not grudgingly. Not for what you will get out of it, but because you are eager to serve God. Don't lord it over the people assigned to your care, but instead lead them, again, by your own example. Now, to me, I hope you guys can understand where I'm going with this.
To me, this is what it's like of what elders are supposed to be like. It's a good understanding.
And so, again, this will be on the podcast. This will be on, we'll put it on Slack. You guys can review this as much as you want. And if you have any other questions, you can come talk to me or talk to any of us about this. Okay? That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to audio from Foundation Life Bible Church, located in Greenwood, Indiana. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. For more information about Foundation Life Bible Church, please visit us online at www.foundationlbc.com.